Because you see, we don't preach this easy believing. We preach repentance and faith, the revelation of Christ to the human heart as that individual's all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Now today we're going to look at the steadfastness of Jesus. Now turn to Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 46, down through verse 52, or 62, I should say. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 46, down through verse 62. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me, for he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus saith unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus saith unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home in my house. And Jesus saith unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Shall we pray? Our Lord, today we recognize again the seriousness of this hour, because we know that there are souls here that are hanging in the balance. We just don't know which way they're going to go. And we pray that thou wilt just hold them fast and draw them unto thyself as only thou art able. We thank you for this privilege of gathering together in thy house. We thank you for the manifestation of thyself already to us, in both the Sunday school hour and thus far in this service. And we praise thee, Lord, that thou art our God. Now we ask thee again, open our understandings and fasten our attention upon that which you have for us to listen to. And then, Lord, apply it to our individual hearts as only thou canst do. We pray for these in our midst that don't know thee. May this be the day in which they are enabled to close in with thee and walk out of here a saved person. But our God, whatever it is, thy will be done. And we ask most of all that thou wilt glorify thyself in all that's said and done. Forgive us where we fail thee. Work out thy purpose here in each heart and life, as only thou art able to do. We ask it now for Christ's sake. Amen. Our subject this morning, the steadfastness of Christ. Today we're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ as he is on his way to the city of Jerusalem. In this lesson, we're going to see his steadfastness set forth, as well as the example that he gave us to follow. Now, there are several more things we want to look at, too, so our lesson will fall into three simple categories. Hope we have the time to finish. If don't, we'll just stop, and then we'll pick up again next week. That's the joy of being able to preach expository message. Our lesson falls today into three categories. First of all, we're going to look at the manner by which a person receives Christ. Let's soak in. The manner by which a person receives Christ. And then secondly, we're going to look at the rebuke of sectarianism. And then thirdly, if we have the time, we're going to look at the steadfastness of the Lord Jesus. Now our lesson is simple. The disciples began to argue about each other who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. So the Lord Jesus took a child, set him in the midst, and says, if you don't become like a little child or even as an infant, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then also Peter and John, or I should say James and John, they looked at a man who was not following the Lord Jesus, and yet he was doing miracles, and they said, well, let's rebuke him. And so the Lord Jesus spoke to them, and then we find also that there were three other men that were going to follow the Lord Jesus, and he gave them the criteria that's necessary to follow him. Now, that's the thing in a nutshell. Should we go home? Usually we might do that, but no, we're not going to look at that this morning. First of all, we're going to look at the manner by which a person receives the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to bring two simple things here. I want you to notice it very carefully. May not get beyond this point, but I'm going to say this to you very kindly. If you're saved here today, you receive Christ, and Christ received you. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. You were ready, willing, and want, and desiring to receive Christ long before he received you, only you didn't even know it, did you? And yet we find very clearly the manner of salvation is this, the manner by which a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not this. It's not walking an aisle. I preached in Monroe, Louisiana a number of years ago, and I'll tell you right now, the preacher's wife got so mad because I said to her point blank, I said, you didn't get saved by walking that aisle. She said, I did too. I said, no, you didn't. I said, you may have walked the aisle, but I said, you didn't get saved by walking that aisle. I said, you got saved when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I found out later on she'd never come to know it. People today are also taught this. Well, if you're baptized, you're going to be converted. We can put you into this tank of water back here. It'll hold probably 600 gallons. And I'll tell you right now, I could duck you in and under from now until doomsday, and it won't save you. And then people also are taught, well, if you walk the aisle and you come down to the altar, well, then you're going to get saved. No, that's not it. Salvation consists of these things, although perhaps you may do them, because I believe this, that every truly born-again person ought to be baptized. I believe that. The Scripture teaches it. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And I don't mean sprinkling, and I don't mean pouring, because as an infant I was sprinkled, but after I got converted, I was baptized. And the Lord Jesus sets forth these things. I believe also that an individual, if they are serving the Lord God of heaven, and they find a church where the gospel is being proclaimed, and they like to be there, then they ought to put their membership in there and go to work for God. And we have a lot of people today, you know, and Barney McCoy was one of them. He was here 17 years before he joined, but he finally did. And we're glad that he did, and he's still here. And we find, well, now what in the world are you talking about? Well, people today are all mixed up. Now, how in the world does an individual get salvation? First of all, consists of Christ receiving us, and we also receiving Him. Now, take your Bibles, and I'm going to give you these Scripture verses. First one is John chapter 6 and verse 37. Listen to it. John chapter 6 and verse 37. Here you find the Lord God of heaven telling us about salvation. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, we read the word, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Now what do you have here? You have the individual coming to Christ, drawn there by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we find here also that the Lord Jesus Christ receives us in salvation. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That means he receives us. All right, take again. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 11 and listen again to what the Word of God says. Notice it. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And there again, receiving us, because Christ is our atonement. Now turn again to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will, and look at verses 4 through 7. And you have here a classic example of individual being received by the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we read, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Now here you have the Lord Jesus Christ receiving us. We are accepted in the Beloved. Now, preacher, why do you talk like that? Well, I picked up a religious magazine this past week, and I was reading about this individual, and he's on the road, you know, and he's going through one meeting after another, and he came to this particular meeting, and he said in this particular area, he said, "We had 99 people saved. 99 people were saved, but less than a third of them ever got baptized." Now you say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" Well, when an individual is truly converted, they want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism because God's commanded. And if only a third nine followed the Lord in baptism, I make the wonder how many of them ever really got to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, salvation consists of Christ receiving us in redemption, and He died. We are accepted in the Beloved. But then also, the individual in turn receives Christ. Turn to John chapter 1, if you will, and listen to what it says. The book of John chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13, where the Word of God teaches us very clearly this marvelous reality. In John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, we read, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God." Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, we receive Christ, and we receive Him because He receives us. And are you listening? These both come together in an individual conversion. Now, that happened to you if you're truly converted here today. Church membership had nothing to do with it. Good works had nothing to do with it. But if you're saved here today, you received Christ, and Christ received you at the same time. Because as many as received Him, to them gave He power or the ability or authority to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born. How were we born? Not of flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but we were born of God. Now, why do I tell you this? Because the Lord Jesus Christ had to show the manner in which an individual gets converted. Take your Bibles now and go back to Luke chapter 9 once again. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 46 down through verse 48, we read, "Then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great." And in Mark and Matthew, you'll find out that the Lord Jesus also took up a little infant. He held a little infant in His arms, and He said very clearly, He said, "You've got to receive me as a little child." Now, how come? Well, we find very clearly there are five reasons for this. Number one, a little child knows nothing. Now, what are you talking about? A little child knows nothing. They don't even know how to take care of themselves when they have a mess in their breeches. They know nothing. And are you listening? When God brings an individual down to under conviction, that individual is a so-called religious sinner. The Lord God of heaven is going to strip that sinner, so that sinner will only know really two things. Number one, he'll know that he or she is a lost, good-for-nothing, hell-deserving sinner on their road to hell. And they'll know the second thing, and that is this, that if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't reach down and save them, they'll never get converted. And that's about all they know. Now, why do I tell us this? Well, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 26 down through verse 31, where we find the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here by the words of the Apostle Paul these words. Listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how there are not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, number one, wisdom, number two, righteousness, number three, reconciliation, number four, redemption, and number five, glorification. Where do you find that, preacher? In verse 30 again, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I get contact from people, and I read about it, and I find out they're supposed to be preachers and missionaries, and when you ask them, and they ask them to give them their testimony, well, I think I was saved when I was 5 years old. Now, wait a minute. Salvation is not a think so, hope so, guess so, maybe so, wonder so. Can a little child be saved at 5 years? Yes. All you need to do is read the story of 1 Samuel. I'm driving at this. Because people today are exalting themselves in the fact that they have accepted Christ as if Christ couldn't save them unless they accepted him. My God's a sovereign God. And I'm going to tell you this. He never offers Christ unto an individual that doesn't really want it. And we better understand that. Now, how's an individual going to be saved? We've got to come as a little child. A little child, first of all, knows nothing. We don't either. Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The second thing about a little child is this. A little child is nothing. Is nothing. You say, what are you talking about? Well, all we got to do is look at the record of America in the last several years, and we find out that America has killed 31 million babies. They come along and they say, oh, that little fetus inside the mother's womb is not a child. That's the biggest lie out of the pit of hell there is. It is a little child. It feels. Its heart beats. It moves. It has toes. It has feet. It has a tongue. It has a brain. It has a heart. It has a body. And you try to tell me that's not a living human being? It is. But are you listening? A little child is nothing. Now, why does the God tell us this? Because I'm going to tell you point blank that a poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving, good-for-nothing sinner is nothing. What have you ever done to deserve redemption? What is it in you at this hour that could cause God to make him save you? Nothing. You see, we know nothing because we don't know ourselves. We are nothing because a little child is nothing. We are nothing outside of Christ. And so we have to come as a little child. And the third thing about a little child is this. A little child deserves nothing. Well, let's go back. We are nothing. Turn to Romans chapter 3 and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 3. And we find in Romans chapter 3 in verse 10, these words, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." That'll tell you what we deserve. What do we deserve? We do no good, we are no good, and we deserve no good. And that's where we tell people for point blank, and we make no bones about it, that the Word of God teaches from Genesis to Revelation the total depravity of mankind. Man is a totally depraved sinner. He knows nothing, he is nothing, and then he deserves nothing. A little child deserves nothing? No, I'm going to give you an example of that. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is setting forth the condition of Israel and the city of Jerusalem in the language of a deserted, forgotten little baby. In Ezekiel chapter 16, look with me if you will, verse 3. "And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. As for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." And I'll tell you right now, there's a sample there of God saving sinners. Now you see, a little child is nothing. A little child deserves nothing. Now you say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Well, what is there, baby, that deserves a college education? What is there in a little baby that deserves $1 million? What is there in a little baby that deserves good care and family relationship? Really nothing. And now why do I tell you this? Because I'll tell you point blank. God pictures a little baby, and he pictures a sinner as a little baby and a little child, and our Lord is telling us very clearly that we have to become as a little child because a little child deserves nothing. Here you have a classic example of it in Ezekiel 16, and I'm going to tell you right now that no sinner deserves to be saved. Nobody does. None of us here deserves salvation. Well, how'd we get it? Grace. Unmerited favor of God. Given to us at the expense of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he do? I'll tell you right now. He sought us and he bought us. And I'll tell you right now. He owns us and he's taken care of us. And we deserve nothing but hell. And yet he gives us everything. You see, a little child is like this. Now, some of you are going to go out of here and say, "Well, preacher, I don't agree with you. I think a little child does deserve something." What does it deserve? You think of it. What does a sinner deserve? Well, I'll tell you what he deserves. He deserves hell. He deserves damnation. He deserves to be put in the deepest recesses of the lake of fire. That's what we really deserve. But I'm going to tell you this. When our Lord reaches down and saves us, he makes us to become as little children because we know nothing. We are nothing. We deserve nothing. And then we need everything. And a little child needs everything. Take your little child today. Take a little baby that's born today, all right? If you didn't clothe it, it'd be naked. If you didn't wash it, it'd be filthy. If you didn't train it, I'll tell you right now, there's no telling what would happen to it. For the most part, the little child would die. Because you see, God has constituted mankind in this respect so that man today is picturing a sinner, Man needs everything, and God sets it forth by the birth of a little child, because I'm going to tell you right now, you and I that are born into a family, that family has to take care of us. I know since when they get to be 10, 11, and 12 years of age, you know, they think they know everything, and they really know nothing, and they try to exercise their so-called authority, and the sad thing of it is today that America's fallen apart, hook, line, and sinker, when in reality, I'm going to tell you right now, an individual is still wet behind the ears until they reach age 21 or older. Oh, now some of you aren't going to agree with me, but I'm telling you the truth. A child deserves nothing, and a child needs everything, all right? What does a child need? I'll tell you. They need food, they need clothing, they need shelter, they need protection, and they need love. And are you listening? A sinner needs food. A sinner man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You and I have got to feed on the Word of God. We need it. And because Christ is also our living bread, we need Him. Then we also need clothing. In Isaiah chapter 61, if you'd like to turn to it, I'll show you what we mean by that. Isaiah chapter 61, and we find in verse 10, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us by the prophet of Isaiah these marvelous words, and it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now what do you have here? All right, here you have the clothing. Are you a sinner here today? I'm going to tell you right now. You're standing naked before God. Now you may cover up your clothing here. You may put on physical clothing. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your spiritual nakedness. You stand before God a naked sinner. You stand before God a helpless sinner. You stand before God as an individual, like the little baby, you need food, you need clothing, and then you need shelter. A sinner needs shelter because I'm going to tell you this. He that believeth on the Son of God is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And an individual who does not know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is under the wrath of God, and we've got to have shelter from it. How about you today? Is God your shelter? The Lord Jesus Christ is our shelter in the time of storm. And how wonderful that He is. And then also, are you listening? A sinner like a little child, a child needs food, it needs clothing, it needs shelter. And a sinner like a little child also needs protection. Take some of these little boys and girls that are here this morning. I'll tell you right now, stick them out there in the road and say, okay, here, take care of yourself. They can't do it. They'd starve to death or they'd get run over or else some other way abused by somebody. Now, the vast majority of them would not reach maturity and they would not reach their man or woman. Why? They've got to have shelter. They've got to have protection. And you and I, as sinners, we need protection from the Lord God of heaven. He protects us. How? He first of all does this. He reaches down and brings us under conviction and shows us who we are and what we are and the judgment we're under. And then He reaches down and saves us by His marvelous grace. He receives us, we receive Him, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and indwells us, and it becomes the witness that we are the children of God. And I'll tell you right now, we are passed from judgment unto light, and we are passed from condemnation into the family of God. He not only justifies us, but He adopts us and takes care of us and protects us and provides everything we need. Now that's why salvation is the greatest thing that ever takes place. But there's one more thing, and I think this caps it all. A little child needs food, clothing, shelter, protection, And above everything else, love. A little child needs love. There was an investigation some years ago, and when they investigated it, they went to the various orphan homes and everything like that, and they found out that there were children, there were boys and girls there that were fed and clothed and everything like that. But I'll tell you right now, they were growing up retarded, and many of them died. You want to know why? There was no love. No love. And are you listening? You and I today, we need God's love. Aren't you glad that you can go to His Word? And aren't you glad the Holy Spirit testifies with you that God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, and that you are that whosoever, and that you love Him because He first loved you. And the love of God, what does it do? I'll tell you what it does. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost who's given to you. There's no one of us today that love God because of our natural nature. We love God because He first loved us. And when He saved us, what did He do? The Holy Spirit of God came and indwelt with us. And now the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given unto us. And we love Him, and we bask in the reality and rejoice in the wonderfulness of the love of God that He has for us. This is why a proud, arrogant, adult-minded, so-called intelligent individual isn't going to get converted. They've got to become as a little child. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not against education. But when education lifts an individual up and they become as proud as an old peacock, you know, and it sets out its feathers and it says, "Look at me!" And people today are listening, they're talking to individuals and say, "Look at me! I have so many degrees and I believe that abortion is right and that evolution is right and that the right, the so-called religious right, ought to be shut down and I'm going to run for governorship to do it." Then it's high time we better wake up and say, we got a bunch of fools in our country. Now, how about you this morning? Have you ever come to Christ as a little child? This is the way you're going to have to come. All right, one more thing. I want you to notice in Luke chapter 9, go back to it if you will. And I see right now I'm not going to get done, but that's all right. We'll just pick up next week where we leave off today. But in Luke chapter 9, we find very clearly, in verse 48, the Lord Jesus said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent it. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great." All right, now here's the beautiful thing about a little child. Listen. And this is what has to be done by an individual if they want to be converted. A little child knows nothing, is nothing, deserves nothing, needs everything. But to sum it off, are you listening? Very clearly now, a little child believes easily. Easily. Some of you here today, you ought to hang your head in shame. You don't believe Christ. You don't believe it. You sit and argue about it. And some of you, whether you realize it or not, I honestly believe that some of you here are actually proud of the fact that you're a lost sinner. We ought to be ashamed. Well, preacher, because a little child believes easily. And when an individual believes something, they'll act on it. If I tell you today, you come to my home and I'll give you a good Sunday dinner, all right, and you say, "Well, preacher, I believe that, but I'm not coming." You don't believe it. All right, are you listening? Listen carefully if you will. And look at what the Word of God says. Turn to the book of John, chapter 5, for just a moment. And listen to it. Listen to it if you will. In John chapter 5 and verse 24 and 5, we read these words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. All right, now turn to John chapter 8. And let me show you again. In John chapter 8. Notice what it says, if you will. John chapter 8 and verse 24. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now are you listening? You sinners here this morning. Are you going to be like a little child? A little child believes easily. In other words, you want to be saved today, you've got to believe like a little child. A little child. Preacher, you mean to tell me that the Lord Jesus Christ is ready, willing, and able to save me right there? Isn't he? He is. What does he tell you? He says very clearly, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And are you listening? When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, you trust him implicitly. You take him at his word. In your heart there's a reality dawns upon you that what God is saying is true. And it is true. And when you don't believe what God says, beloved, you're calling God a liar. And that's one of the worst things you can do. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do? You trust him implicitly. You take him at his word. He says to you, come unto me and I will give you eternal life. Now what is eternal life? Is it something you feel? No. Is it something you see? No. But what is it? It is that which the Lord God of heaven guarantees you the moment you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And we see it set forth. Now you say, Pastor, you know you have eternal life? I do. Well, how do you know? God gave it to me. First of all, he said so in his blessed word. And he will not go back on his word because God cannot lie. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, as very clearly, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. All right, now here's the stumbling block for a number of you here. What is it, preacher? Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. But he that is least among you all, the same shall be saved. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You want me to say it? Yes or no? And you've got to come to each other. A little child knows nothing, is nothing, deserves nothing, needs everything, and a little child will believe. You see, the older we get, the more skeptical we get. Take a little child, and I'll tell you right now, you can satisfy them very easily. If I were to tell my boys and girls here this morning, now, after services, I've got something for you, I'll tell you right now, if they really believe me, they'd come after me, wouldn't they? And they would come and say, Pastor, what's it got for me? Well, I'm not going to tell them today that I have something for them, because I don't. But I'm going to tell you this. When God says unto you, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God has got something for you. And you must come as a little child.
Now, why do I tell you this?
Well, on your lips, there's no other way. There's no other way. So some of you today are for fatality, and the Lord was dealing with me about that all this week. And if we better not think we're at somebody. Don't look around and say, well, I'm somebody. Look at me. Are you listening? God's eyes, we're nothing. We know nothing. We are nothing. We deserve everything, but everything wrong. We deserve nothing good from God. We don't deserve it. It is. Like as a little child, we need everything. And how wonderful it is that our Lord, what does He do? He gives it to us contingent upon one thing. Believing Him. You right there. You believe everybody else. You better believe God. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Now, what makes it so difficult for the sinner is that the sinner has to become as a little child. Now, some of you may walk out of here this morning and say, I'm not going to hear that preacher anymore. He told me I was a dumbbell. Oh, I didn't say that at all, did I? I said, we know nothing. And until the Holy Spirit of God opens our heart, I'm going to tell you right now, we don't know anything about ourselves. Man today is taught, know thyself. The only way you're going to know yourself is by the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when He does, the Holy Spirit of God will open your heart and show you that you are nothing in God's sight. And yet, in spite of your being nothing and our being nothing, I like that better. In spite of our being nothing, yet our blessed Lord looks down upon us and He says, you know, He said, here's that old sinner living in blood, condemned and dying, and on his road to hell, hopeless and hapless and good for nothing and stinking and rebellious, and yet I'm going to save that individual. And how wonderful it is that He does. Because you see, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. You want to be saved? Yes or no? And you believe Christ. And He. And He will save. Our Father, this morning we thank You for this time. And we ask You again, Lord. You made us to be a little child when You saved us. Oh, keep us that way. Because, Lord, we know nothing. And we are nothing except in Thee. We deserve nothing, but You give us everything. And then, Lord, help us. Help us as believers to believe Thee even more than ever before. Oh, give us more faith to trust You. More faith to follow after You, Lord. And to be more like a little child before You. Take away our pride, our arrogance, our self-sufficiency. And Lord, make us realize again and again and again that from Thee flow all these blessings. We pray for these in our midst today that don't trust You, Lord, that aren't believing You right now. Make them as little children. Lord, we can't do it, but Thou art able to do it, and we ask that You will. You've brought them here, You're keeping them here, and now, Lord, grant them faith to believe Thee. Work in their hearts so that, Lord, You receive them and they receive You simultaneously. And what a blessing that will be to them. Oh, we still can't get over how much You love us and how You saved us. And we ask again, help us never to reality that we are but little children in Your sight. Oh, Father, help us and teach us to follow hard after Thee as never before. We ask it now, Lord Jesus.
for thy sake, and in thy name we pray. Amen.